Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. There is a word found a number of times in the New Testament in the Greek that is variously translated. The word is koinonia. It is translated fellowship here in Acts 2:42, contribution in Romans 15:26, communion in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, and communicate in Galatians 6 and verse 6. The word means a sharing in common, holding a mutual interest, mutual activity, a partnership with each other, participating together. Our text says that the church in Jerusalem continued steadfastly in this fellowship. And in our lesson, we propose to study what this fellowship is and what it means to those who are involved. Fellowship is a well-illustrated concept in the teaching that calls for unity. Saints make up the church, the body of Christ. Just as there is to be harmony and unity in the physical body, so there is to be a similar harmony and unity in the Lord's spiritual body, each member of the body functioning as it should, in fellowship and mutual interest and commonly working with every other member that works harmoniously. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. In Christ, all the selfish and secular and artificial distinctions generally prevailing in the world among people are removed in our spiritual fellowship and brotherhood together, Galatians 3 and verse 28. Now, there are some things with which the Christian is to have no participation and no fellowship. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 20, I would not that ye have fellowship with devils. Ephesians 5 and verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Neither is there to be fellowship with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, or with false teachers, 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5, and 2 John 9 through 11. There is to be no fellowship with those who are immoral, 1 Corinthians 5, and those who create division by false doctrines, Romans chapter 16, verse 17, or even those who walk disorderly, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. And it is unfortunate that too many who profess Christianity are not respectful of the prohibitions regarding fellowship revealed in Scripture. In what are Christians to have fellowship? We're to have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as well as one another, 1 John 1, verses 1 through 3 and verse 7. The fellowship of Christian brethren is such a strong tie because that which binds man to brethren is that which binds man to God when people come to God through Christ. As Jesus prayed, brethren are to be one, John 17:21. And this oneness is the basis for all areas of Christian association and fellowship. We have fellowship in worship, 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 17. And here the word is translated communion. The text is speaking of the Lord's Supper, one of the items of worship under Christ. The cup is the emblem of the blood of Christ. By drinking the cup of the Lord, we proclaim Christ, expressing our attachment to Him and to others. The bread is the emblem of His body. We commemorate His death, His burial, and His resurrection by observing the Lord's Supper. But we also acknowledge our brotherhood with each other. It is easy to see how we have a mutual interest in this activity in which we participate together. The same is true in other items of worship, such as singing and praying and giving and studying the Word of God. It is a serious matter to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, not only because we disobey God's command, but not only because we fail to commemorate Christ, but because we neglect fellowship with our brethren in the way that God has prescribed. And we also have fellowship in working for the Lord. Christians are like laborers sent out into the Master's vineyard, Matthew 20 and verse 1. They form the corps of workers for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. This presents the unity and the harmonious working together that is to characterize brethren. Paul considered Apollos a co-worker, with Paul planting, Apollos watering, God giving the increase. He often spoke of other brethren as his fellow laborers in the Lord. We have a common cause, a cause of righteousness. We work alongside each other, supporting each other, encouraging each other, spreading the message of salvation to a lost and to a dying world. We busy ourselves in caring for each other physically and spiritually. This because we are saints of God in fellowship with one another. As Abraham said to Lot, "For we be brethren." We even share in our spiritual thoughts and convictions. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now this requires that we have the same standard and the same measure. It means we so mold our hearts and minds that we learn to think alike and to speak alike, to be recognizable by our speech and our attitudes and our actions in life. Philippians 1 verse 27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." In the essentials of the faith, we stand as one. Our thought, our understanding, our goals, our convictions regarding God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, His church, the plan of salvation, the pattern of worship, heaven, hell, sin, Satan, on, we're in step with each other, none walking disorderly or out of step and out of line, but each with an eye on the steps of Christ and living consistently therein. Our fellowship extends into the realm of these convictions, allowing with charity differences in matters of human opinion and judgment, but demanding oneness in those things spoken by the Lord. This all is based on our steadfastness in the one faith. Fellowship among brethren also includes the practical realm of sharing in suffering. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26, "And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it." You see, we make up the body of Christ as individual members. We're to bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6 and verse 2. There is a mutual sympathy and compassion and care for each other. Just as with the physical body, when one member is injured or is harmed, the whole body grieves. So it should be with the members of the body of Christ. Just as we share our mutual woes and mutual burdens bear, we also share our joys. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26 continues, "All one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." Christians will delight in the radiance of other brethren, even when that radiance surpasses our own. Christians do not consider themselves as rivals or competitors. When a brother has 10 talents and succeeds, we all rejoice. If we have but 1 talent and we do what we can with it, all rejoice when we succeed. As brethren in the Lord, having fellowship one with another, we learn to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep, Romans 12 and verse 15. Is not this to be expected as a natural consequence among those in fellowship? How could we have love for each other and manifest anything differently in our lives? Jude speaks of our common salvation, Jude verse 3. We have a mutual salvation and the same hope, based on the same Savior. Because our fellowship is holy and sacred through Christ, each one partakes of the salvation along with others who come to Him. We're otherwise like lepers, doomed to an eternal spiritual death, unclean, exiled, excluded. But having been cleansed by the blood of Christ, we now share in the inclusion among God's people, being received of God and all the saved. And just as we have the same God, the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same body, the same faith, having been baptized with the same baptism, we hold the same hope. We have that which is common to all who are faithful in Christ. This is a part of Christian fellowship. In addition, we enjoy the same divine providence and shall live together in the same eternal home of heaven when this life is finished. But we also have a daily and earlier fellowship here on this earth in our association with each other. We converse together. We have daily contacts in various affairs of life. Our paths cross from time to time, and we're made glad to be in the company of faithful brethren. Malachi 3:16 states, "They that feared the Lord spake often one to another." Well, this is characteristic of Christian brethren. One of the most strengthening and encouraging byproducts of being in the assemblies together for worship is the opportunity to see and to greet and to talk with those of like faith and Christian conviction. Often the times of assembly are the only times that many brethren have opportunity to be with one another, because the duties of life take them into different places and they seldom see one another. And to nurture this association, helping is to make friends of God's children. Christians come together for various occasions, such as eating together, even playing together. All such things can and do contribute greatly to understanding and knowing one another. It assists in maintaining the unity of the church, strengthening the bonds of concern for each other. How can we grow in love one toward another without some opportunity for association together? This is an activity in which individual Christians should take part, availing themselves of opportunities for such relationships. This is too often considered the only means of fellowship, however. But we've already shown a host of other areas of fellowship that are even more important. But this is certainly one branch of our mutual concern and our mutual participation and our demonstration of mutual goals. When we understand and appreciate fellowship of the saints as the Bible teaches, we see its warmth and its beauty, its brotherliness. There is comfort and unity and encouragement. We're in a company composed of the redeemed who are walking hand in hand and heart in heart with each other, helping each other to get to heaven, serving under the leadership and guidance of Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Because of our common convictions, standing together in God's truth, being brothers and sisters in God's family, we have a common ambition and seek to help each other reach that ultimate reward. Friend, the next time you sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love," consider with gratitude the provision from God for Christian fellowship in all the various areas wherein it is manifested. Seek the fellowship with the faithful, and avoid fellowship with that which is prohibited and excluded. Nurture and protect fellowship with the saints and defend its sanctity, for we be brethren. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.